Happy Thursday to all of you out there in Radio Land. This is Lenny Lawson, the car guru, not self-appointed. That was done by a customer of mine in the showroom about 18 years ago. They said, I was giving them some advice about a car or something like that. And I can't even remember. I think they were service customers. And they said, you're kind of like a car guru. Ding. I guess a bell went off. You know, when I first started doing this show, I mean, WJCW had this opportunity for businesses to come in and talk about their business. I used to listen to talk radio a lot when Rush Limbaugh was still alive. I miss him. But anyway, I would listen to these early morning broadcasts of these businesses. There'd be, you know, one stacked after the other, and some of them were 5 minutes long. I know there was a veterinarian on there for once. He was really fascinating, and real estate people and stuff like that. And I called him one day and I said, what about a car dealer? Well, at the time they said, well, we got Bill Gatton on here. Chris Lee gets on here and talks about cars and stuff and his dealership. I said, well, I'd like to maybe do that, except I don't want to talk about the dealership necessarily. I just want to talk about cars and fixing them and, you know, helping people make good decisions about buying, selling, trading, that kind of stuff. And they said, well, okay, whatever you want to do. We have no openings right now. I said, well, let me know when somebody drops out. So somebody did, and I was able to come in. I think my first show was like 15 minutes long, and I was mortified. You know, I've been doing TV commercials for a lot of years, and, you know, that's really not a big deal. I mean, you see some people, you think about doing a TV commercial, and you think it's going to be easy, and then they put a camera on you, and you've got lines that you got to remember. And I've seen very confident people who are very well-spoken become blubbering fools when they put a camera on them. I was one of those at first. And then my mom was my coach, though, and I remember my first TV commercial was in 1985, walking in front of the Chevy store over there on Church Street, my dad's, my family's Chevrolet dealership there in Greenville. And, oh, I was scared, but she was my director. She said, Lenny, don't lift your head up so high in the air, but bring your chin down and enunciate. I said, okay, I'll do that. What's enunciate mean? And then she told me. So that was to speak clearly, which I don't do now. But anyway, the radio show, one day I went to see Paul Overby, who used to be the sales manager at the radio station. He's retired now, a wonderful guy. And I said, you know, what if I did like a half an hour show? He said, could you do a half an hour show? And I said, well, sure. I think I can once a week. He said, okay. So we moved it to a half an hour. And then about a year later, I said, what if I did a show every day of the week, Monday through Friday? What would that cost me? He told me. I said, you know, that's not too bad. I said, you ought to pay me. But he said, nah, we don't do that. So I got some airtime, and so for probably, I don't know, 15 years or so, I've been on every morning from 9:06 when all the news stops to 9:30, and that's enough. And lately I've had a hard time getting here because of rehab, cardiac rehab, and dealership things, family issues, and so forth. But so I apologize when I have to run a rerun. I hate to call it a rerun, a rehash, whatever. I'm just, you know, the information that I try to provide is, or that I do my best to provide. I hope it's helpful to you. I want to talk a little bit about emotional decisions versus rational decisions when it comes to cars. Let's just leave it at that. Let's not get into family issues or relationship issues. You know, it's funny, though, how similar they are and how emotions can take over and overcome rational thought. I had a scenario that I wanted to run past you, and this is the kind of thing that I get asked a lot. This was a phone call from a long-term, I guess, they ran the local newspaper, and he had a question about a 2015 vehicle that he owned with 66,000 miles on it. And he had a serious issue with it, and he wanted to know what my opinion was. Well, I'll go into more detail here in just 1 minute. Okay, I'm back. So what happens when you have a vehicle, 2015 model, 66,000 miles, and all of a sudden somebody tells you that there is sludge in the engine. Now, what can cause sludge in an engine? Well, there could be an internal engine defect. Toyota had that problem for a long time with sludge buildup in their engines, in their Tacomas and I think Camrys. They had a lot of issues with those. They kept it pretty quiet, though, but they were able to, I guess, overcome it in one way or another. But when you have a 2015 model car, what is that, 7 years old, 66,000 miles, relatively low miles. Well, that's really low miles for a 2015 model. It shouldn't have sludge in the engine. So why would that be? Well, this particular vehicle is a Nissan Murano. Now, Nissan requires you to use synthetic oil. Now, there's a reason for that. What's the reason? It's because it was engineered that way. If you use conventional oil, especially inexpensive conventional oil, in the wrong viscosity rating, in other words, instead of use, if it calls for 30 weight oil and you're putting zero weight oil in it, which such a thing does exist, then you're going to cause issues. Most of them will be long term. You know, they won't be short term. But anyway, you pull off the oil cap on this guy's engine, shine a flashlight down in it, and it looks like a milkshake. Now, where's he been getting his vehicle serviced? Well, I'm not going to say. I'm just going to kind of give you a hint. It wasn't at a new car dealership anywhere. It wasn't at a independent shop. It was at one of those fast lube places. Pulls the Nissan Murano in. Why do people go to those? Because they think, oh, I need an oil change. And they know that they'll have to set an appointment at the dealership, but at the quick lube place, they can just pull in line, get it done. Now, all of them are not created equal. Some do a better job than others. But this particular case, they were using the wrong oil. And so he had a major engine failure due to oil sludge. And whose fault is it? Well, I think it's the owner's fault. He shouldn't have defected from the new car dealership. Why do people defect from new car dealers? Well, they think it's inconvenient, or they think it takes longer or costs more, or all of the above. Well, it doesn't cost more. Matter of fact, it probably costs less. They know what your car requires, and they do a thorough job, including an extended checklist. When you leave a car up on a lift for a longer period of time, guess what? You have more time to do. Inspect everything and look for things. Now, people say, well, every time I go to the dealership, they want to try to sell me something. Duh. It's probably because you need it. Now, there are some stores, I'm sure, that oversell. I know a few that are very aggressive in the service lane with selling flushes and wiper blades and stuff like that. But really, how often should you replace your wiper blades? No, not every 3 years. Twice a year is what's recommended. You know, before you go into fall and as you come out of winter, you should probably replace them again. You know, so you have nice, fresh windshield wiper blades for the monsoon season. Inserts, not blades. So let's talk about this Murano. This guy had to make a decision. So emotional decision may be, you know, to buy a new car. He didn't want a new car. He says, Lenny, what's it going to cost for a new engine? Well, it just so happens a brand stinking new engine in a crate from Nissan for that vehicle is pretty much installed. Okay. Parts and labor is $10,000. And you choke on that, but I understand. I want you to know that that's low for an engine these days. So he'll have a brand new engine in a 2015 Nissan Murano with 66,000 miles on it. Now, the engine will have how many miles? Zero. But how many miles are on the transmission? 66,000. Air conditioning? 66,000. 7 years. Tires? Hard to say. So he said, I don't want a new car. My wife and I like this car, and we're going to keep it. So I'm going to put a new engine in it. Now, he's going to pay cash for it, and so he's got the liquidity to do that. What if you didn't, though? What if you, well, I guess if you bought it in 2015, you're probably not still making payments on it. But let's say that it's paid for, and you've got to come up with 10 grand, and you've got to go to, you know, where are you going to borrow that? You're going to put it on a credit card, pay 18, 20, 30% interest? You know, you could go get a loan against your car, have to give them your title, and, you know, they're probably going to charge you for that. It's not going to be like a new car rate. It's probably going to be in the 6 to 10% range. A lot of people just put it on a credit card. Bad move. You know, you could get a home equity line of credit and pay for it that way. Anyway, you've got to come up with the money to do that. So what's the Murano worth? Well, it's actually worth anywhere between $18,000 and $20,000. So it still has some value. So you're going to, but you're going to spend $10,000 more on the car. Now, what if you took that same $10,000 and put it down on a new Murano? What's a new Murano cost? Well, about $42,000. Now, you have a vehicle with a bad engine. So if it has a let's say it's worth $20,000 fixed, it's going to cost $10,000 to fix this. You got $10,000 that in equity, and so you're going to take $10,000 from $42,000. So $32,000 plus tax is what you're going to be financing. What's the monthly payments on that for 60 to 72 months or 84 months if you're going to keep it a long time? So, you know, too many people just go, oh, man, we need a new car. Let's go buy a new car. This engine's bad. That might not be the best decision for your family. That might be the emotional decision. You got to find out what the rational decision is. Non-emotional. Numbers. You know, and still sometimes you have to be a little subjective about it. You know, you may decide, well, you know, gosh, those new ones are really nice. They're safer. They get better gas mileage. Maybe we get a hybrid this time. Maybe we get an electric vehicle. Just put the numbers on paper. Make sure you understand what you're getting into. Look at, you know, fixing your engine. So if you fix that engine, how much longer are you going to keep that 7-year-old car with 66,000 miles? You know, let's say it has all of a sudden you have 150,000 miles on it. You still have a relatively new engine, but man, everything else is getting pretty old. Aren't you sick of that car by that period of time? So, you know, you got to project yourself into the future and say, okay, well, are we going to do this? Are we kicking the can down the street? Maybe 3 years and then buy a new car in 3 years, save up some money. See, that's rational thought. Do you see what I'm saying? Not enough people go into that process. Sometimes you do need to call an expert. You know, I recommended that they look at new vehicles. And he said, no, we're not looking at new vehicles. We don't want a new vehicle. We like this one. And so he's hard on new car dealers, but I think that's wise for them. That's what they've thought it through, and that's what they want to do. This has happened. Well, this happens every day. I mean, in just about every new car dealership, there are probably 4 or 5 vehicles sitting outside or in the shop right now getting new engines put in them because somebody made a decision to put a new engine. Now, it's real easy if it's under warranty, right? When it's not easy is when you're having to pay for it, or especially if you're having to borrow money to do that. So anyway, some people will make that call and go the what they feel like is the cheapest route. Some people will let's go ahead and take advantage of new technology, new engines. We can afford this new payment. We're going to have to make payments on the $10,000 anyway. So let's just make the same payment on a car. Maybe that's the rationality. But, you know, still, think about it. It's really, there's no one right answer. I guess sometimes it's pretty obvious. But, you know, something else I do want to talk about. A lot of people are getting to this point right now, and they think, okay, should we go ahead and buy an electric vehicle now? I mean, what are the pros and cons of electric vehicles? Let's talk about the pros here for just a second. Definitely, they're more economical. To operate, not to buy. They are more economical to operate. You can get up to $7,500 tax credit right now. So the government will pay for $7,500 of your electric vehicle purchase. So that sounds pretty good. Other pros, you know, I've driven the Mustang Mach-E. I've driven a Tesla. Really, I put about 2,500 miles on a Mach-E. I enjoyed it. It's nice. I wouldn't travel in it, though. Why? Because I don't know where I'm going to get it charged. That's a con. I already did that. Smooth, powerful acceleration is great. The warranty is great, 8-year, 100,000 miles. just in case a battery falls to, I think if a battery falls to about 75% maximum charge capacity, and it's within the 8 years or 100,000 miles, you get a brand new battery. Why is that important? Well, because a Mach-E battery, sit down, make sure you're sitting, it's between $18,000 and $23,000 for a new battery. Now, a new battery for a Tesla is between $13,000 and $14,000. But, you know, when you put that in perspective for a, let's say, I don't know, F-150, 3.5 EcoBoost, probably, if you had to replace the engine, probably going to cost about $15,000 or $16,000. So it's not much more than the engine. Remember, you're not replacing the electric motor. You're just replacing the battery. Let's talk about cons. Electricity is not free. To give you an example, it costs about $22, give or take a little bit, to charge up a Tesla. It's about 25 cents per kilowatt. Another con is electric cars just simply cost more. I mean, for the same size vehicle as a Tesla Model 3, I mean, you can spend 20 grand less and get a Honda Civic. Range anxiety is a big issue due to the lack of charging stations and the uncertain amount of charging time. You know, that's very disturbing to me. Is, you know, let's say I pull up to a charging station and there's five cars in line. Well, it only takes 40 minutes to get a 80% charge, but every single person in front of me is going to take 40 minutes or longer. And what if they go off to Cracker Barrel to get something to eat and they sit there longer while their car's already charged? That would be upsetting. Okay, limited towing range. You know, this new F-150 that's coming out called the Lightning, it's full electric, right? Supposed to have about a 320-mile range, unless you put a trailer up to it, and then it's about 150. So another thing about cons as far as electric vehicles, cold weather issues. The range isn't as good when it's cold. It gets cold around here. Battery degradation is another issue. You know, like I said, new battery for a Tesla is about $13,000 to $14,000. Mach-E is about $18,000 to $23,000. Don't know why the Tesla is less. But the good side of that is that, you know, a battery will last between 300 and 500,000 miles. So who's going to have to really worry about that? 10 to 15-year life on average of a battery, but, you know, you will lose capacity. So when you buy it, it might be 350 miles of range, but when you use it for 8 years, you may only have 200 miles of range. Well, that cuts down on the vacation trips and increases the number of charges that you have to have. So, you know, maybe you do want to go with an electric car. Maybe you're an innovator. Maybe you just really get excited about this new technology. Good for you. I'm just not there yet. Now, we've got a Lightning coming in to Gateway. We'll have it. We should have it next week, and that's going to be our demo vehicle. I encourage you to come down to Greenville and check out the new F-150 Lightning. I'll show you the frunk. That's the front trunk, and because it doesn't have a motor up there. It's all underneath the vehicle, all the drive gears and motors and stuff. It's got a motor. It's all-wheel drive. It's got a motor in the front, motor in the rear, and a battery in the middle. But it's really going to be I guess it's the Trailblazer. No, not the Chevrolet Trailblazer. It's a trail. It's true Trailblazer. It is a vehicle that is cutting edge, and Ford was the first one to come to market with a sellable truck. Rivian tried to beat them, but Rivian. Would you buy a car called Rivian? Come on. They could have thought of a better name than that. Okay, I'm going to take my last break. Be back here in just a minute. Okay, making a rational decision here. I've got cardiac rehab I've got to go to. And then I'm going to go visit my cardiologist in Knoxville. I'm so excited. Things are going pretty good. I feel good. I'm being a good boy. I'm exercising. I'm walking at least 30 minutes a day. Most of the time I'm exceeding that. And I'm going to keep doing that. I never was much of a walker. I'd much rather ride my bike and go, like, you know, cover 10, 20 miles or something like that. But still a big fan of the electric bike. Took an electric bike ride the other day. Range, I'm not concerned about that because the bike has a lot more range than I do. But, you know, when you're driving a car and you're thinking about buying an electric vehicle, range is an issue. If you're planning pretty much to use your electric vehicle for local comings and goings, you know, as long as you go to Knoxville and back, that's easy. You don't want to charge your vehicle on these Superchargers very often if you do get an electric vehicle, because it will make your battery degrade faster, and you don't want that. The batteries like to be charged slowly, and that would be in your house. But keep in mind now, if you buy an electric vehicle, you're going to have to spend another $1,800 to $2,500 on your in-home charging station. You know, they fail to tell you that little doodad. Yeah, you're going to have to be able to charge. You're going to have to put a 220 outlet in your house, something where they can charge in 8 hours. Otherwise, you plug it into 110, you're talking about 4 days, 3 days maybe, to get your vehicle charged. And you don't want to have to just drive your car once every 3 or 4 days. You want to drive it, you know, bring it in, plug it in, wake up the next morning, unplug it, take off, and do your however many miles you need to do. You know, that in that particular instance, at the cost of fuel and everything that we have today, that's not a bad thing. But, you know, the cost of vehicles is pretty high. Consider leasing your first electric vehicle. You know, do a short-term lease, maybe 24 or 36 months. I think that's a good way to experiment with it. And, you know, by the time you get done with it, the battery's probably got plenty of life left on. If you want to buy it at the end of the lease, you can. I mean, they have a lease purchase option at the end, so something to think about. Well, thanks for listening to this edition of My Car Guru, and I hope you got something out of it, and I will see you tomorrow.